morning. Welcome to our second Sunday of Advent service. Advent, the season of expectant waiting, has a special double meaning this year as we await the birth of Jesus and also the end of the COVID-19 virus.
It has been a long time since we have seen each other in person.
But there's light at the end of the tunnel.
A safe and effective vaccine has been approved.
And we're nearing a time when we may worship together again.
And lift our voices in praise and prayer.
Thanking God for the gifts of His Son and healing medicine.
Oh, thank you, Grant and Mutsumi, for a lovely greeting this morning. And welcome to worship, all of you. This is the second Sunday of the season of Advent, the second Sunday of a season where we both look to the past, but looking forward toward the past at the birth or toward the birth of Jesus. But we also look forward in time to the completion of history, to the completion of the creation of a kingdom of love and peace, justice and mercy that we're all invited to be a part of, and you're all invited to be a part of, even as we gather to worship. My name is Mitchell Hay, and it is my good pleasure to be the equipping pastor of the Essex Center United Methodist Church in Essex, Vermont.
And I'm Barb Lemmel, and I attend there, and I live here with Mitch, and I'm glad to be with you all this morning on the second Sunday of Advent, the Sunday of Peace.
Last Sunday was a Sunday we celebrated hope, and today our Advent candles are here to celebrate peace.
And thank you so much to those of you who put pictures of decorating your Advent wreath on the Facebook page. They're wonderful, all of them. And excuse our dog who's decided that there are scary beings outside that need to be barked at.
Our dog is not much into peace, hope, or love this morning. But I invite you to a call to worship that is in your bulletin. And if you don't have a bulletin from our Facebook page or email, I just invite you to listen and move into a worshipful mode. And this comes from a poem by Ted Loader. O God, grant us your sense of timing in this season of short days and long nights, of gray and white and cold.
Teach us the lessons of endings.
Children growing.
Friends leaving.
Jobs concluding.
Stages finishing.
Grieving over.
Grudges over.
Blaming over.
Excuses over. Oh God, grant us your sense of timing in this season of short days and long nights of gray and white and cold.
Teach us the lessons of beginnings.
That such waitings and endings may be a starting place.
Of planting seeds which bring to birth what is ready to be born, something right and just and different.
A new song.
A deeper relationship.
A fuller love.
In the fullness of your time.
Oh God, grant us a sense of your timing.
Amen.
Amen. So as we light our Advent candles this morning, we invite you to, if you received the Advent lighting packet from, or the Advent wreath packet from us, to light one of those candles as we do this liturgy, or if you've got a candle of some other kind in your home, to join us in that.
One of the aspects of this lighting liturgy from Marin Tirabassi is in the middle of it, she talks about how we are lighting a candle in spite of that which brings dark. We bring light in spite of aspects of darkness. And if you might want to share something about that, whether it's COVID or loneliness, or if you might want to write in the comments section something that that you need the hope of peace or the light of peace.
And there will be a place in the liturgy for that. In our homes, we gather around wreaths to pray our lost hopes, our broken peace, our limited joys, and love so hard to find and share in this season of coronavirus.
We affirm that our candles mean we claim the power to call this season Advent, where God's light comes into the world and nothing can overcome it.
Last week, we lit the candle of hope.
And we now light a candle of peace. In spite of all the things around us, COVID, the darkness,
inequality, division,
pain.
In spite of those who find it hard to forgive, in spite of those who've not had electricity these last 12 hours because of snow.
God's peace illuminates the possibility of reconciliation and healing and brightens the path to joy.
Emmanuel, God be with us in the week to come, lighting hope and peace on the wick of our lives so that we may shine on your world. Amen.
So Danielle and her family are going to share a little bit about the meaning of the Advent wreath and peace. So take it away, Danielle.
Hey guys. Did you know that all names have meanings? So every name has a meaning. So Jesus means Yahweh saves. Yahweh is another name for God. Do you know what your name means?
Isn't there like a book in the library that tells you what your name is?
Yeah, you can find books that tell you what your name is. So let's see. Mine means, Danielle means God is my judge. And Marie means beloved. Or something say bitter, but I would rather say beloved, like loved. So I am a loved, God is my judge, and I am beloved. So let's see, Allison, do you know what your name means? Noble. Noble means like a queen. And your middle name is Marie, like mine, which means beloved. Again, it can also mean bitter, but I would rather believe it means beloved. Emmett, do you know what means, what your name means?
Is it like peace?
Nope. Emmett means universal or entire, so like all. And Mitchell means who is like God. So we would say Emmett Mitchell means you are entirely like God.
What the heck? I don't think anybody can be entirely like God.
No, I don't think everyone can be entirely like God either. Hannah means favor or grace. And Millie, which your name comes from Mildred, means gentle strength. So you have gentle strength and you have favor with God. And David, you know David from Sunday school, his name means beloved, kind of like Marie. Bella means beautiful or devoted to God. Wally means rules or conquers. Elliot means Yahweh or Jehovah is God. And Everett means brave as a wild boar. That describes you pretty good.
Yeah.
Now what's cool about Jesus, guess how many different names there are for Jesus in the Bible?
Like a lot.
How many do you think?
Two or three names.
Seven. Over
10.
Over 140.
What?
Wow.
Jesus has over 140 different names in the Bible. Let me read you some. Some of them are listed in Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace.
Wow, that's a lot of names.
I know, a lot of names.
Five names.
So one of the Advent candles is for peace. There are many ways to say peace. In Hebrew, do you know what they say? Does anyone know another word for peace? Shalom. Can you say that?
Shalom.
Shalom is another word for peace. And you can also sign it in sign language. Does anyone know how to sign it? like a heart? That would be a good way to do it. Peace makes me think of a heart. But this is how you sign it. You go like this. So you start like this. You kind of twist and go like this. Yep. So you kind of move and then relax. And then stop. And what that actually means is when someone goes like this, what does that usually mean?
They're washing their hands.
I think it thinks of someone like excited or nervous. Yeah. So this kind of makes me think of that. And then what does this make you think of?
Calm.
So in sign language, peace actually means become calm. So does peace mean just calm?
No.
No, it means you have to become calm. Become calm. So Jesus is the Prince of Peace. That doesn't mean he was calm. It means he helps the world become calm.
Become calm.
Right. So I always thought that peace meant just like quiet or still. But when I think of a candle, it makes me think of peace. And is that flame, is that just still?
No.
No, it's kind of flickering, moving a little.
This one's flickering.
Yeah. They're quiet, but they're not still. So Jesus, another name for him, is the light of the world. But, yep. So he's kind of like a light. He's peaceful. He brings peace and he brings light. But that doesn't mean you can stay still. You have to become calm. You have to bring peace. So it's our job to spread peace to the world. And that doesn't mean just be peaceful ourselves. That means to go out and become or bring peace to others. Do you think we can all, what's one way you could help bring peace? What's a way you could bring peace in your classroom or in your world? Yes.
You can help somebody up if they fall down.
Help someone up if they fall down.
You could help somebody.
Right, you can help somebody. Yeah, Allie.
You could zoom to somebody.
You could zoom with somebody? Yeah, that's a good idea. So Jesus was the light of the world, and it's our job to be lights too. But if lights stay still, if we're each a little candle and we stay still, we don't light up a very big place, so we need to move around. We need to bring peace to the world. And that means going out and doing things, not just staying in our house, but we need to bring that peace to the world. Can we say a prayer? Dear Lord, we light the candle of peace that everyone may see Jesus is the light of the world, that he is the Prince of Peace. Help us to live in your light, to live in your hope, and to live in your peace. Help us to become calm and help bring calm and peace, shalom to others. Shine within our hearts today and every day. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you, Danielle and crew. That was wonderful. And it's also our sermon, so I think we're done. This is good. We're going to read that Isaiah piece that Danielle shared a chunk of. We're going to be reading a little different translation. It's from the Inclusive Translation, and it brings out some wonderful subtleties, and. And if you're used to hearing this in the King James or the wonderful
Revised Standard, or Revised Standard,
or a particular piece of music, this will be a little bit different.
So settle back and listen.
Now, Isaiah, quick context. Isaiah is speaking to people who are feeling utterly defeated. They have been in exile, in bondage, and have little hope. And Isaiah gives them a vision of a future of peace.
So if you're feeling in exile, these words will ring true
for you.
The people walking in darkness are seeing a brilliant light. Upon those who dwell in a land of deep shadows, light is shining.
God, you have made the nation greater. You have brought them abundant joy. They celebrate your presence as with the harvest celebrations or as warriors celebrate when dividing spoils.
For the yoke that burdened them, the weight on their shoulders, the rod of their oppressors, you have shattered it as you did in the defeat at Midian.
For every boot that tramped in battle, Every cloak that was dragged through blood is now used as fuel for the fire.
For a child is born to us, an heir is given us, upon whose shoulders dominion will rest. This one will be called Wonderful Counselor, the Strength of God, Eternal Protector, Champion of Peace.
This dominion and this peace will grow without end with David's throne and realm, sustained with justice and fairness, now and forever. The zeal of Yahweh Omnipotent will accomplish it.
Amen.
Amen. So as Danielle shared in the traditional liturgy of the Advent candle lighting, this is a Sunday dedicated to peace. And the English word peace comes from the Latin word pax, which means an absence of conflict or war. But as Danielle shared earlier with the kids, the biblical word for peace, shalom, means a whole lot more. I love the ASL version of becoming calm. The biblical word shalom, according to Tim Mackey, a Hebrew scholar, he says that shalom connotes a stone that is complete and without cracks, or a wall with no bricks or stones missing. A complex structure where everything holds together. On a boat, we call that shipshape. But shalom connotes complete and smooth, calm, strong, whole, like our fantastic Jenga tower here.
So shalom isn't just the absence of war, but it's also about the absence of fragmentation.
Mm-hmm.
And as we spoke about this week, we were reminded how much our lives are fragmented these days. And so I feel like we're walking Jenga towers.
I can barely walk regular, let alone being a Jenga tower.
So there's fragmentation within ourselves.
And there's broken relationships between ourselves and others. Man, I'm having a hard time.
There you go. You need to put it on top, right? There's COVID.
There's so many things tearing apart our community, our communities, like racism.
And hunger.
You've got poverty.
We have cancel culture.
I'm going to make a bad mistake here. We have disenfranchisement.
We have the legacy of redlining.
We have resentment and unforgiveness.
We have clinging to our status. And that's what makes it fall. That's what we feel like, Jenga towers. That's the fragmentation of not having shalom. It's not just not being calm, though calm is part of it. It's also the pieces that get pulled out one by one by one by one until all of a sudden it just takes one thing and down we go.
You probably know what that feels like.
Yes.
At a personal level, you probably know what that feels like in interpersonal relationships, and you know that feeling with our culture, our communities, our world.
In all kinds of ways. If we sat to make a list, we'd be here all day, all week, right?
Now, here's another thing about shalom. According to Hebrew scholar Dr. Carissa Quinn, it's not just a passive state of calm.
Right.
This pile, you may not see it here.
Oh, well,
but
there it is.
That pile is quite calm.
Right.
But it is not whole.
It's not whole.
This, the Romans would look at this and say, ah, Pax Romana, this is fine. It's very calm, nobody's causing problems. But shalom is not just a passive state of calm. It is a state of wholeness. It is a state of peace. So shalom is also the active restoration of all that is fragmented and broken. It is, whether that's within ourselves or our community or in relationships, shalom is all about restoring wholeness.
So shalom's about building the Jenga tower back up.
Shalom is about building it back up.
And that's what's so great about the passage from Isaiah 9, where Isaiah says, the people who are walking in darkness are seeing a brilliant light. It's also a poetic plan of how to get there. That every boot that was trampled in battle, every cloak that was dragged through blood is now going to be fuel for the fire. We're literally going to burn all of the things that distract us, that call us back from peace. And Isaiah talks about the one who is to come. And mm-hmm. This is where the Handel's Messiah always gets going in my head, right? Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Those words are etched deep into our spirits.
Absolutely. Now, our translation today was a little different. Wonderful Counselor, the Strength of God, Eternal Protector, Champion of Peace. And when I first read that, I thought it sounded really awkward. But then I did some reading and some studying, and I thought how wonderful that is, because a Prince of Peace sounds like it's just one calling for one person, only one person's that kind of royalty. But Champions of Peace is an invitation.
Right.
Not only to the one to come that Isaiah is imagining or envisioning, but it's also an invitation to each of us. All of us can be champions for peace. We are invited to work toward peace at all those same levels of within ourselves, our interpersonal relationships, and the community and the world. We are all tasked with being champions of peace for rebuilding a sin-shattered world, one little brick, one little Jenga stick at a time.
Okay, so for you, how do you think about being a champion of peace for yourself? So actually, let me back up.
I just preach about this. I don't have to do it.
When is it you feel fragmented? How do you know, what is fragmented? How do you know you're getting fragmented?
How do I know I'm getting fragmented? When I get fragmented, my monkey brain goes into overdrive.
Okay.
Maybe it's a squirrel. I don't know, but it's something on a wheel that just goes.
So how do you know that's happening?
I know that's happening because it's much harder for me to stay focused. I am scattered. I am so easily distracted. So it ends up being harder for me to study. It's harder for me to pray. It's harder for me to stick with something. And so I might, and the computer goes from being a great research and communications tool to a dangerous escape down a rabbit hole.
Because
I might be doing
internet
a really, it's infinite. And so I love doing research on stuff. So I might be doing something for a sermon. And next thing I know, I'm on my seventh article about obscure third century monastic traditions that I'm not going to preach about, unless you'd really want to hear something about that. No,
so when you get fragmented, what brings you back? What do you do, or what when you realize that you're in that spot, mm-hmm. when you're on your seventh article about third century monasticism, what do you do to get out of that?
I need to both keep my monkey brain occupied, distracted, or entertained, but also have a way to concentrate. And so what I've started doing, especially since we moved here to Essex and we have these beautiful woods back here, and I don't recommend this to anybody because you're going to trip over a root and break your neck.
I don't do this.
But I read a book while I walk in the woods, and it's a transformative thing for me. Walking through the woods is able to keep my monkey brain occupied.
Because you have to keep an eye out for not tripping.
I have to keep watch out for roots, and there's just the light is changing, and the leaves or the snow or the rain or the rocks or all of it is constantly changing. So my monkey brain's going, oh, this is nice, and quite occupied with, don't trip over that, don't fall, don't go down the hill. But then I also have a book, and it might be the Bible, it might be a book on spirituality or prayer, but something dealing with big questions about life, the universe, and everything. And while my monkey brain's occupied, my higher brain is able to spend some time learning. And if especially a book about spirituality is, I get to take the hand of a fellow explorer into an unknown place of spirituality.
And so you're not really alone.
I'm not alone. I am with St. John of the Cross. I'm with Julian of Norwich. I'm with the anonymous author of The Cloud of Unknowing. Or I might be hanging out with Natalie Boltz Weber, getting a tattoo in my mind. So those are all there. And yeah, that's good for me.
And so when you get back from that, so you leave all fragmented.
Mm-hmm.
You do your walk with your book. When you come back, what's different?
I almost always come back with my monkey brain calmed down because it's been entertained by something other than the interwebs.
Yeah.
And my pastor brain has had some space to come up with a new idea or two. So oftentimes I'm able to come back and go, this is where I want to go with worship, or this is where I want to go for a program. And I also feel like I've had some time with someone who knows something about the life of the spirit that has taught me something I didn't know before.
So there's part of you that's calm.
Part of me that's calm.
And there's also a part of you that's energized and focused.
I am
the way you weren't when you left.
Yeah, where I was monkey-brained, fragmented, I was hectic. I was, but not able to accomplish anything. Now I'm able to be both juiced and focused and able to make things happen.
So shalom is partly about being calm, but it's also about being ready to take the next good step forward.
Yes. Yeah.
So that's true for us as individuals. Obviously, it's also true for us as communities, as a church, as families, mm-hmm. any kind of relationship that we're in. We can take the differences that are between us and pull all the pieces out until the Jenga tower falls. Mm-hmm. And social media only makes it easier and faster and more anonymous and meaner, as far as I can tell.
Social media gives everyone a hammer to
start
breaking the pieces down with.
And because we're not in person as much, it's harder to feel like we're not fragmented as friends or as a community, because we just aren't with each other. We just don't see each other, except maybe with some Zoom pieces. Mm. And so, you know, the joy of being together is that we're different people and we enrich each other. And the great frustration of being together is that we're different people and we make each other crazy. And in COVID, it's so easy for us to get so caught up in being right more than being connected. Whereas I think when we're together in person, we can manage that balance a little bit better.
Mm. When, the pieces, when we disagree, yeah, we're not called to be correct.
Well, or the Isaiah piece doesn't say the one who will come is the one who will be correct in the Lord. Right. It says wonderful counselor, you know, mighty God and all those things, mm-hmm. but then champion of shalom. And so to be a champion of shalom isn't always to say, I'm right and everybody else just needs to get with the program.
Right. And Paul has a similar term, a champion of peace. He uses the word ambassadors of reconciliation.
Sure. Same thing.
That's our
champions of shalom.
Everyone's right. Everyone's calling as followers of Jesus. You remember back in the day, and you all might remember if you are of a particular age, a national public radio show from WGBH called Car Talk with the Maliazzi brothers, Click and Clack.
Right.
We remember them.
Do we cheat them and how?
We miss those shows. If you're not familiar with the show, it was called Car Talk because it was a radio show where people would call in with questions about their cars. I mean, that was ostensibly what the show was about, but no one was listening to it because it was about
cars.
There was good stuff. We learned things. But what was wonderful about it was they were hilarious, and people would call in, and every car problem usually had some interpersonal relationship issue around
Some of them did.
Yeah. And so it was typical for a husband to call up and go, "Hey, my wife's father taught her to double clutch when she shifts the transmission. And I told her that's stupid. You haven't had to double clutch the transmission since 1935. So how do I tell her she's wrong?"
And this is where the Magliazzi brothers would say, "Okay, do you want to be right? Or do you want to be married?" Right? And then they do some talking about how, you know, you don't really need to double clutch, and you know, they would do the car stuff, but they always ended with, "Do you want to be right? Or do you want to be married?" And then they'd laugh, right? And then they'd go on to the next piece.
And they'd also say something like, "What are you, stupid? You have a wife who knows how to double clutch. Yeah, that's right. Gold. Oh my gosh." So
Right. And so being champions of shalom in groups, mm-hmm. being in relationships, being in together in church, being in communities, being in the world is tricky because we know what we believe and we have good reasons for believing it.
Mm-hmm.
And it's really important for us to let each other know about those things. And then at the same time, there's places where we need to say to ourselves, do I want to be right or do I want to be married? Right? Do I want to be right? Or do I want to be part of this community? Mm-hmm. Do I want to be right? Or do I want to preserve this friendship? And please, please, please do not hear that I'm saying that we should just lay back and let people walk all over us just for the sake of quote peace, unquote. That is not peace, right? But the shalom that we need, if we're going to build a strong wall out of all the different people that we are, the shalom requires us in some ways to be very firm, and then in other ways to be champions of connection, to be champions of love, to be champions of grace that gives each other space to be even and maybe especially when they're different from us.
And even allowing people a space, a graceful space to be wrong. It also is
right.
A deep humility to recognize that I might be wrong.
Right. I mean, I'm not.
Well, no, wrong, not but... you ever. No, but that's why we're still married. So,
you know what it means.
The ability.
Go ahead.
The ability to hold firmly yet lightly to opinions and philosophies when it comes to interpersonal relationship is part of spiritual maturity, being able to be firm in where I am. And my strength in that is not dependent on your being the same.
Right. Our strength is dependent on God loving all of us just the way we are. And the things that we bring, so I'm taking a course right now to become what's called a movement chaplain, a certification course for to become a movement chaplain, which is kind of a chaplain for protest movements. And one of the lessons that we recently did was, how do you pack your bag to go to a movement? So you bring a bag that's got water, snacks, maybe some Band-Aids, a phone charger. You know, there's a whole long list of things, right, that you might find useful.
When I went to the Washington March to get arrested at the 350.org protest, we were told to bring Depends.
Right.
Because we might be in a paddy wagon for several hours.
Right. If you're planning on getting arrested, you might want to bring Depends.
I just worked on dehydration.
And the point is to bring that bag of things somewhat to offer to other people, maybe, but primarily it's for ourselves as the chaplains, right? So that we don't get dehydrated, so that we don't get lightheaded, so that we can bring the best of who we are to whatever the situation is. And it's absolutely our charge to be accepting and to minister and to offer an enormous grace and help to everyone in that movement, as well as to the counter-protesters, whoever it is we run into. Mm-hmm. And we need to sustain ourselves in that. And so, again, for us to be, we say this week after week, I think, for us to be champions of shalom means for us to work hard on our inner shalom, our connection to God, and then also to bring the fullness of our shalom to other folks in a way that they can benefit from our calm and also benefit from the certainty of what we believe, even as we're allowing other folks to be certain about what they believe. It's like a Jenga tower, right? Mm-hmm. And the bringing the bag is part of how I keep my own tower safe. And at the same time, the movement chaplain course is very clear that you don't have to have a bag at all. The most important thing we bring is ourselves, who we are, that we are champions of shalom in everything that we do. And to me it's great to do that as a movement chaplain. I don't know if I'll ever get an opportunity to do that, but it's also to me what the calling is of being people of faith, being people dedicated to the building up of the world. It's the same. It's the same process.
We're going to be having a chance to do some practicing of being champions of shalom in the interpersonal relationship piece. We are creating at Essex Center United Methodist Church seven small groups of 12 to 15 folk. What we're trying to do is create a space, and I sent out an email about this last night. You may have seen that this morning. We want to create an arena for folks to be able to have communications with one another. The real start of this was as we are entering another winter of COVID and people going back inside, I've been very worried about folks getting isolated in the midst of that. It's very easy, especially for shy people who aren't as loud as I am, to just kind of fall off the map. And so we are creating small groups where folks are covenanting to be in communication with each other regularly. We have seven shepherds who are individuals or couples who are going to help gently lead folk to a way of being in contact with one another. And there's going to be possibilities of communication, of connection, of covenant, and all of it is practicing shalom, all of us practicing the being champions of shalom.
And these groups they're diverse. So they're made up of folks with kids, folks without kids, folks who are alone, folks who live with other people, different age groups. Each one of the groups is diverse and also diverse in how folks can connect, right? So it's not necessarily everybody's going to do a Zoom group because not everybody in the group may be online, right? So there are all sorts of ways in which these these groups make connections with each other. And as these groups make connections, it's entirely possible that you'll get reminded that what's really great about being connected to someone is that they're different from you. And what's really frustrating about being connected to someone is that they're different from you, mm-hmm. or different from us. And so as those groups get started, for those groups to be committed to being champions of shalom amongst mm-hmm. each other, champions of connection, of caring for each other and learning from each other through these next dark and cold and, for some of us, isolating and lonely days. So we're thanking you in advance for taking part in this, and especially the shepherds who will be guiding this as it goes.
So those groups, even as we gather by phone or however we do, and you'll be getting contact from one of the shepherds very soon to tell you how and when y'all are going to be meeting. It's going to be the ability for each of us to practice building up shalom within ourselves as individuals, in the relationships that we have with the people in the small groups. And that will inevitably, those waves of peace we create will inevitably move out into the world.
Because that's what the Holy Spirit does.
That's the Holy Spirit's job.
Just giving that opportunities.
So we invite you to be a part of one of these small groups, and you'll be getting a call soon. And I guess as homework for all of us is to spend time first on that that peace within, to find that calm.
And the activity, right? So it's not just being Zen.
It's not passive.
So it's calm, and it's also energized toward the world, mm-hmm. right?
It may not be a walk in the woods with a book, but all of, and then we bring that to our relationships with others as we are champions of peace within those interpersonal relationships, not passively so. We hold to our opinions and we share them, but we also allow others to be who they are.
And this is how we help God heal the world. And that's really what we're about.
One Jenga stick.
At a time.
At a time.
Amen.
Oh, go in peace, y'all. Thanks for being with us.
So we'll have some music from Catherine now. She's going to play Lo, How a Rose There Blooming, which is possibly my favorite Christmas carol, Advent carol, whatever it is. During that time, you're welcome to put any prayer requests into the comments on the Facebook page. And also, we'll be celebrating communion virtually after we have our prayer. So if you don't have elements handy, go ahead and get something that will be bread and cup for you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Catherine.
Beautiful.
I invite you to a time of prayer. The sentiment comes from the first chapter of Mark, who is quoting the prophet Isaiah. And we invite you to share your prayer concerns with us in the midst of this. See, I am sending my messenger ahead of you who will prepare your way, the voice of one crying out in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Holy One, make a straight path for God. And Steve asks a question we all do. God, how shall I prepare your way? How might I announce your coming? How might I live to make your coming plain? How will I think, speak, and act this day as a messenger of grace, as a champion of peace, so those who yearn may hope, and those who sit in darkness and the shadows of death may rejoice? How do you enable me to live this gospel? What path are you making in my heart? How are you preparing your way in me? Let me see and hear and trust and follow. Amen. And in that spirit, we lift up prayers of people in our community. With Pam, we lift up prayers for a friend who is dealing with the realities of the near end of a terminal illness. With Liz, we pray for comfort and peace for her friend Christine, who took her life this week, and for her family, especially her sister, who is already dealing with a terminal cancer diagnosis herself. For Not With Narda, we pray for the Churchill family who are struggling with being apart this holiday season while grieving the loss of Pam and Sherry. With Sandy, we pray for the loss of a family member in Connecticut, Eddie Fusco, who passed away yesterday from COVID. His wife, Hale, is gravely ill with the same. With Christine, we pray for healing and restoration of health for a family member struggling with a debilitating illness. We pray for Peg. We pray for Paul with Fred. We lift up all those who were lifted up last week and all whose names are kept silent in our hearts.
And we pray with confidence in your coming, Jesus. And we share the prayer that you taught us to say. Our Father,
who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name.
Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil.
For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
So Isaiah proclaimed that one would be born to us who would be a champion of shalom. And that's a great description of Jesus. Mm-hmm. Sometimes he was shalom by comforting those in need. Sometimes he was a champion of shalom by healing those who were sick. Sometimes he was a champion of shalom by challenging folks to be more than they thought they could be. And the last night he was with his disciples, he was a champion of shalom in that he offered them himself, and he offers us himself as well. And so we remember that on that night he took bread and he gave thanks to you, God, for it. And as he broke the bread, he said, "This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this whenever you eat in remembrance of me."
And
when the supper was over, Jesus took the cup, gave thanks, and said, "Drink from this, all of you. This is a new covenant in my blood poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink in remembrance of me."
And so we pray, Holy Spirit, come be in these gifts of bread and cup in each one of the places where we are right now. Help them be for us the body and blood of Christ, that we might be the body of Christ for the world, that we might be your champions of shalom. Feed us in body and in spirit with your very self. Amen. And we invite you now, if there are folk in your home where you, or wherever it is that you are, to share communion with each other. If you are by yourself, for you to partake in communion, knowing that you are not alone. You are connected with all of us and with the Spirit.
It is a mystery that it is in bread broken, a body broken, that we find wholeness.
Indeed.
In the midst of fragmentation, we find shalom, the body of Christ broken for you. The blood of Christ shed for you.
The body of Christ broken for you.
Amen.
And the blood of Christ poured out for you, may it strengthen you to be poured out for others.
Thank you, God, for refreshing us at this table.
Mm-hmm.
May your Spirit empower each of us to be champions of shalom within ourselves by the power of your Spirit, in the people we relate to, and a whole world that is bent on fragmentation. Let us work with others of goodwill to bring healing and wholeness as champions of shalom. Amen.
Amen.
We have a few announcements to let you know about. One is, if you're not on our email list, you would not have gotten notification about these small groups. If you are joining us for worship and would be from away and would like to be a part of that, send me a Facebook message and let me know that you might be like to be part of one of the small groups. Tonight at 5:00, we are going to be having our second Advent Bonfire Vespers service. We had 19 folks show up last week. It was wonderful.
We got to sing, y'all.
We got to sing with masks off.
We were far away and it was dark and cold and we were singing.
It was
it was amazing.
Monday, our Zoom Bible study will be happening. The links are in the bulletin. We have birthdays this week for Thatsney Mitchinson on the 10th, Richard Almeida, and Don Strickland on the 12th. So happy birthday, y'all, and an anniversary for the Godfreys. So happy anniversary. Thank you for being with us, and thank you for exploring the concept of shalom. I want to send you off with these words from L.R. Nost, an activist who says, "Be not dismayed by the brokenness of the world. All things break, and all things can be mended, not with time, as they say, but by intention and with intention. So go, love intentionally. Love extravagantly, love unconditionally. The broken world waits in darkness for the light that is in you, the light of the world the light of the God who is creator, redeemer, and sustainer now and forever. Amen.
Amen.
And go in shalom.
Go in peace.
Amen.